Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and boy, do we have a docket today. A Florida man does the unspeakable. Second, Michael Avenatti, the attorney that even lawyers love to hate, is now in custody again. A priest runs over a Catholic school teacher and injures another. Michelle Carter, she's getting out. Our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Quick rule of thumb. If you've got something illegal on your computer, you may want to clean it before you take it in for repairs. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in today. We certainly do appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day and schedule to watch our little show. First on the docket, a Florida man does the unspeakable. A Florida man by the name of Anthony Tote is charged with murdering his wife, three children, and family dog. Let's get to the details. On Monday, about 9:30 a.m., Osceola County Sheriff Officers deputies accompanied federal agents from the Department of Health and Human Services to serve an unrelated arrest warrant for Anthony Tote. Tote was 44 years old and rented the home with his family in Celebration. Although no specific information was given regarding the nature of the federal arrest warrant that the agents were going to the house for Anthony Tote, it's clear that Anthony Tote and his wife owned a physical therapy clinic. His wife was a licensed physical therapist. Normally, what takes place if Department of Health and Human Services is involved is that there must have been some sort of overbilling. Now, I'm going to say that's probably speculation, but those are the type of charges that are usually handled by the Department of Health and Human Services. Some sort of fraudulent billing practices. So the police respond. They ultimately get into the house and they find the deceased bodies of Megan Tote, 42, and their three children, Alec, 13, Tyler, 11, and Zoe, 4, as well as the family dog named Breezy. Now, what's a little more disturbing about this entire situation is that friends and families of the Tote asked that the sheriff's department do a welfare check back in late December because they had not heard from the family and they were concerned. An officer went by the residence, didn't receive any response, and basically went about their way. And it wasn't until this Monday, some 3 weeks later, that the officers found the bodies. And according to police officers on the scene, and this is still to be confirmed by the coroner, that they believe that the murders took place in late December. And apparently the family was suffering from some financial woes and had recently had an eviction notice served. But this is another case where nobody apparently saw it coming. They look like the perfect family because when Anthony Tote was not working or spending time with his own kids, he was helping coach the kids' soccer team. Now, apparently Mr. Tote has confessed and is cooperating with the investigation. Just another sad case, makes you wonder why people do these terrible things to other people when it is simply not necessary. If there was a bankruptcy, if there was something that was going to involve Mr. Tote going to federal prison for overbilling the federal government, it probably wasn't that bad. But unfortunate as it is, like all people that we discuss here on Crime Talk, they are all given the presumption of innocence, and we will afford that to them unless and until they plead guilty or are convicted in a court of law. Speaking of another individual that is given the presumption of innocence and routinely professes his innocence. Yes, that's right. Michael Avenatti, the man who became somewhat notorious or at least famous by representing Stormy Daniels, who was the stripper who claims that she had an extramarital affair with President Donald Trump, not while he was in office, but beforehand. Now, Mr. Avenatti is no longer representing Miss Stormy Daniels, which is just her stage name, because she is actually the named victim in one of the federal criminal charges that Mr. Avenatti has for basically, it's alleged that he stole her money. Now, Mr. Avenatti appeared in court late last week for a pretrial conference regarding his bribery case that he has, where he was alleged to have bribed and allegedly extorted, or wanted to extort, as alleged, some $25 million from Nike. Of course, not telling his client that he was going to recover that. That was just more of his fee that he built in so that he could conduct an audit to make sure that these situations never happened again. Well, back on the West Coast, Mr. Avenatti has some problems for allegedly taking clients' money, as well as some IRS-related issues. Well, while Mr. Avenatti was at his California bar disciplinary hearing, during a break, he was arrested for violation of bail bond conditions, which is simply he violated the terms and conditions of his release on his cases in California. Apparently, it's revolving out of some sort of dispute of how he is spending money. More than likely, he has to account for it, or he has to be able to show it to his pretrial supervision officer and be able to account for legitimate means of income. Now, that's me speculating on that, but I believe that to be true based upon my experience as a criminal defense lawyer who has practiced in federal court for some 25 years. Now, Mr. Avenatti has a trial starting next week, and needless to say, the judge in New York is not happy as to why he was arrested on the case in California a week from his trial starting in New York. Well, this is going to get good. Now, how is the Mr. Avenatti to get back to New York for his trial? The United States Marshals are going to get him there. The question is, are they going to leave by van now and probably get there in a week or so, or are they going to fly him? Well, a federal judge has immense power. I once had a client who was in federal custody, and we were going to have a hearing. And the judge said, we're going to have a hearing tomorrow. And the marshal said, but he's in Terre Haute, Indiana. And the judge says, we're going to have a hearing. He better be here. Yes, they flew the client on one of the marshal's private airplanes that they transport prisoners around so that he made that hearing. My guess is Mr. Avenatti will be there for trial because I think the judge is going to make it go. We'll watch. We'll see how things go, but I don't believe Mr. Avenatti is going to be out. And yes, they did not finish his California bar disciplinary proceedings because obviously he wasn't there to participate. And frankly, I've said this before, I believe the retention of his bar license is probably the least of his concerns at this point. And the three general rules that I tell all of the attorneys that work for me in this office, there's three rules that will automatically get you disbarred. If you steal your client's money, you're going to get disbarred. If you sleep with your clients, you're going to get disbarred. And if you fail to communicate and prosecute their case, you're going to get disbarred. Mr. Avenatti, at least we know he's accused of at least one stealing client's money. We'll let you speculate on the other two. Next on the docket, a retired priest in Chicago avoids a DUI charge, but instead he's charged with leaving the scene of a fatal accident, which still carries some 15 years in prison if he's convicted. So it's alleged that the good father was driving home after a dinner party, whereupon he had a Manhattan and a glass of wine and apparently some combination with the alcohol and his Parkinson medication made him not the best driver. He struck two ladies. Both women are Catholic school teachers. And Margaret Roan Leha was pronounced dead. And Elizabeth Kostek was seriously injured but released from the hospital. Now, apparently, once the good father hit these two ladies, he claims that he thought he had hit a curb but kept driving. A good Samaritan followed the good father where he told him you need to turn around and go back. The good father drives back to where the police are investigating but does not get out of the car and does not say that he had any involvement in this accident. Apparently, while he is doing this, another priest sees that he hits another car while making a three-point turn to turn the car around and offers to drive Father Burak home. Ultimately, the police show up the next day at Father Burak's house. They find the car in the garage. It has damage consistent with striking the two women. Now, I am certainly not condoning what the Father Burak did in this particular situation, but had he stopped at that particular location, they would have more than likely taken a blood test from him, even if he had not consented to it, because there was a death or serious bodily injury involved, and he would more than likely be charged with leaving the scene of an accident, a vehicular homicide, something along those lines because of alcohol. The district attorney in this particular case dropped that original charge. Why? Because there was no test. They don't believe that they could prove that beyond a reasonable doubt, and so now the family is left with a litany of other charges, and the most serious being leaving the scene of an accident resulting in death or serious bodily injury. Still carries 14 years, but I think the good father must have prayed about it and received some good advice from the criminal side of it to drive home. Next on the docket, we talked last week about Michelle Carter and that the United States Supreme Court refused to hear her writ of certiorari requesting the United States Supreme Court basically review the case and say that you cannot be convicted of the death of somebody by simply using words. The Supreme Court rejected it and gave no further instruction, so the conviction stands. Well, Michelle Carter, who is not a very nice person, who basically throughout some of these text messages said, okay, now's the time to do it, you can go off and be happy, really not great things, will be getting out because part of her sentence, only 15 months of it, had to be served in prison. The other portion of it was suspended, and she'll be getting out early for good behavior. I hope that while she is on parole, that Miss Carter not be allowed to text people, or at least hopefully she chooses her words more carefully. I think she will, unless she is truly a horrible person. Let's hope she's changed. Now, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Yes, William Crawford, 69, presumed innocent, but is under arrest. Now, Mr. Crawford likes to spend his spare time teaching science at the local middle school. Have we talked about this before? I think we have, but we'll move on, right? Because it just seems like a lot of these guys seem to hang out where the children are. You start to notice a trend there? Anyway, Mr. Crawford was taking his Toshiba satellite into a Tampa Bay area Best Buy for repair. Apparently, Mr. Crawford, the computer must have crashed. I bet you he wish he would have just went and got a new computer. Because why? When those young technicians at Best Buy pull up stuff on the computer and it is child pornography, guess what? They don't just simply close it and say, oh my, that person has some weird tastes. No. They are required to call the police. And the call the police, they did. And now Mr. Crawford, 69, who likes to teach class at the middle school, is under arrest for child pornography, ladies and gentlemen. He's definitely creepy, but he is definitely our dumb criminal contestant of the day, who will be in running for the dumb criminal contestant of the week. And yes, the winners get a mug. All they have to do is contact Crime Talk, and we will send it to them first-class mail, even overnight. I will spend the extra money to ship it overnight simply because, well, nobody's claimed one just yet, but maybe they will. We appreciate you watching. If you have not already subscribed, we'd ask you to please hit that subscribe button. If you like the video, please hit the thumbs up. And if you'd like to leave us a comment, what do you think about Mr. Tote killing his family down there in Florida? Absolutely despicable. And the family dog, Michael Avenatti. What do you think of him? Is he his own worst enemy? Did the priest have a little godly intervention to leave so he doesn't face more serious charges with the DUI? And Michelle Carter, do you think she's changed? Let me know. Leave me a comment below. Have a great day.